Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
This morning we are joined by our UK correspondent, Mark Bernstein. Mark, a very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all. I bring you good news actually, because South Africans can now travel to England or Great Britain without having to quarantine.
That is absolutely brilliant news, and in fact we were looking at some figures, and the prediction or the estimation is that this red ban, or this South Africa being on the red list, was costing our local industry 26 million rand a day.
So, my goodness me. Well, so you really and 47 news. Other countries are now in the fortunate position that you can come to wintry, windy, rainy England.
And who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that with our rand? All right, let's talk about this Professor David Miller, because this was a very, very interesting story. We only touched on it on the show, so I would love to hear a little bit more about it from you.
Now, the Jewish Chronicle displayed a very appropriate headline this week. Miller is gone, but he's only the tip of the iceberg. Now, the point is that Miller made his appalling remarks that Jewish students were pawns of a racist regime engaged in ethnic cleansing. Now, he made these remarks in March, and it's taken only till last week for him to have been removed from his post. Now, I think that the time taken might have had something to do with the pressure from huge amount of British academics. The list is endless, extraordinary. The headline in the Jewish Chronicle is extremely appropriate. The campaign was mounted by the Jewish Society and many other people, and the campaign succeeded to remove him from his post.
So was there an attempt to keep him there by other academics?
Yes. There was a massive campaign. A letter that was sent to the Bristol University, which was signed by what seemed like hundreds of British academics. So I don't think this campaign is over either way, but I don't know whether Dave Miller is going to be employed by another university. It's too early to say at this point, I suspect.
But at least the good news is that he has finally been removed. Moving on to another story, is local council of the City of London rejects a plan for a 48-story tower block that would have threatened the existence of a 320-year-old synagogue. Is that the one at Bevis Marks?
That is Bevis Marks, the very one.
Restaurant still next door? There was a magnificent kosher restaurant next door there.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the 320-year-old grade-listed building was the first synagogue that was built after Jews were allowed back into England by Oliver Cromwell in 1656, Jews having been banished from the country in 1290 by Edward I, at a time when all the notorious anti-Semitic acts against Jewish people were enacted, and unfortunately they were first enacted in England under Edward I. This is absolutely fantastic news, but it is not the end of the story. Never has Churchill's quote, if you take into account the British planning system, Churchill's quote saying this is not the end, it's not even the beginning of the end, but it's perhaps the end of the beginning, is never more appropriate, because the developer, who has another proposal for another development right next to the synagogue has got that, and the developer has also got the right of appeal, but this time not to the local authority but to central government. And if central government rejects the developer too, the developer can then go to court and then the Supreme Court.
This is a long battle still ahead.
Quote from Churchill was never more appropriate.
Absolutely. The problem of facing British food suppliers will threaten the existence of the tiny Jewish community in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Give us some context here.
Well, yes. The costs are... This is in also in the context of the Belfast, the agreement with the European Union following Brexit. Now, and also the terrible situation with supplies of food and lorry drivers and things like that. So the Belfast Jewish community imports food from Manchester. And the costs of that and the logistics of that have become incredibly problematic. Now, you might think that the community would therefore turn south to the Dublin Jewish community, but because of the fact that Britain has left the European Union and there's a difference in currency, the cost of that has become exorbitant too. So the community, which has been under pressure for so many years and has been dwindling in the context of a Northern Ireland which has had numerous troubles over the years, is very problematic for them.
Wow, quite a sad story. This one's absolutely fascinating. An Orthodox Liverpool synagogue facing closure as a community dwindles over Sukkot as a rabbi allows a transgender woman to make up a minyan.
Yes, well, this is in the context of so many communities in England. So many communities diminishing because people are moving out. People are moving out to London and to Manchester, which is basically Manchester's become the hub of the northern England Jewish community, really. Places like Liverpool and Leeds have suffered either because people have moved out to Manchester or London. So, as you said, over Sukkot, this community already ravaged, struggled to have a minion, and the minion was made up by a transgender woman. This is an interesting development.
It really is. Wow. Absolutely.
I do recall my family my mother was brought up in Dublin because my grandparents moved to Ireland to start a business in the 30s. And the community where they belonged one day struggled with a minion, and they allowed a 12-year-old boy to make up the minion so long as he was holding a chumash.
I have heard of that. I don't really. Well, maybe one of our listeners can give us some of the basis for that. I have heard of that, and of course, I think the issue with transgender is going to become a very real one that the shuls are and the synagogues are going to have to deal with.
Yes, exactly. So we will look to Liverpool to see what happens in the future, and as to other dwindling communities will struggle to have a minion as well.
Most of us look to Liverpool for something completely different, but there you have it. And finally,
well, I'm a Spurs fan, so I don't generally do that.
Right. Okay. Alliances or allegiance are noted. And tell us about a general knowledge question on the British version of the chase.
Well, I don't know if there is a South African version of the chase.
No,
but
there
there's
isn't.
Definitely an Israeli version of the chase. But on the British version of the chase the other day, the question was posed, the charity Limud is associated with what religion? Now, the professional responder couldn't answer that question, but you'll be pleased to know that the contestants, the ordinary British contestants on the show, guessed correctly.
That's amazing.
Now, this is in sharp contrast
yeah.
to earlier this year when a contestant was asked which country benefited from funds raised for Live Aid. And instead of responding Ethiopia, she replied Africa.
So, as a country. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So that is mortifying. Absolutely mortifying. And Susan Kasif says, my great-grandparents were actually married in the Bevis Marks Synagogue. That's incredible. Really amazing. It is just the most beautiful, beautiful synagogue. Mark Bernstein, UK correspondent, thank you for bringing us up to date with everything.